If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to grab them and turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. This morning we are kicking off our summer series. As you saw in the bumper video, it is all about growing stronger, getting stronger spiritually. You know, summer is a good time to get in shape physically. We know this. I remember growing up in Louisiana, and we still do this today with student athletes. If you're playing ball in the fall, you've got your summer workout routine, you can go on vacation, but you better be back and you're in the weight room and you're running. I used to hate the hot and humid summers of Louisiana, and I'm so glad I moved out of that and got down here to Houston, Texas. Summer, while it is an opportunity to break and refresh, and I do hope that you get some time away with your family to do just that, it's also a time to focus. And that doesn't just apply physically, but what we're talking about here is spiritually. You know, the Bible says that physical, being in shape physically is of some value, but being in shape spiritually, that's what's really important. And that's what we're gonna talk about in this new series over the next 9 weeks or so. And we do this every summer. What you're gonna see is different pastors on our team and some guests rotate through here in our North Klein campus, and we just take a message series, and you hear from different communicators. It gives me a little bit of a break in the summer, and I think it's good for all of us to hear from different people. And we've got such incredible pastors on our staff, and again, some great friends coming in. And we're going to be talking about in this summer series what it means to add to our faith. That's what Peter says. Now, when he mentions adding to our faith, he's not talking about doing something for our salvation, okay? We just came out of 12 or 13 weeks in the book of Ephesians. We know that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. There is nothing we can do to add to our salvation. But what Peter is talking about here and what we're gonna talk about throughout this summer series is how to grow strong in our faith. And he uses the word, we supplement our faith in order to make it stronger. So I want us to look at this together. If you're new to Champion Forest, I wanna encourage you, always bring your Bible. We open it up every single week. Bring a journal with you, take notes. It'll help you engage, lean in. And you can look at the notes that you take during the week just to kind of refresh your memory. All of these messages build on top of one another. And so the title of the message today is the title of the series, Stronger, Building a Faith That Lasts. All right, we're not sweating to the oldies this summer. Remember Richard Simmons? We're sweating to the holies, all right? So here it is. Let's look at God's holy word, getting stronger, growing stronger. How do we do it? 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3, the Bible says this, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. That, by the way, this would be a great passage to memorize while you're sitting in traffic out here at Steubner Airline as they fix that bridge, all right? Self-control, godliness, all right, I continue. Verse 8, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, this is a wonderful passage of scripture, and I can't wait for these pastors to take really verses 5 through 7, and they're going to highlight a virtue, a characteristic, a quality each week that is mentioned right here in these verses. And I want to begin our time by bringing an introduction of sorts that sets all of these messages you're going to hear up. And if you're taking notes, the first thing that I would want you to notice and recognize and write down is that we need to understand first and foremost, as we talk about getting stronger spiritually, that God wants us to grow stronger spiritually. You understand this, right? Like, God wants this for each person in the room. He wants us to grow spiritually. He wants us to mature. He wants us to develop in our faith. This is a teaching that is consistent through the whole of Scripture, but especially in the New Testament. Let me just give you a few verses that point this out to us. We just came out of our study in the book of Ephesians. Recall what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 14. He said that God gave the church apostles and prophets and evangelists and shepherds and teachers. Why did he do this? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith, knowledge of the Son of God. Look at this, to mature manhood. And he goes on to say, he wants us to be mature so that we're not like children, tossed to and from every doctrine and deceitful schemes that comes up. The writer of Hebrews writes in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. Paul in Colossians, he would say that the entire goal of his preaching and teaching ministry, he encapsulates it. He says in Colossians 1:28, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. This is what God wants. He desires every single person listening to me today, watching online, he wants you first and foremost to be saved. But salvation is not the end of our journey. It's simply the beginning. And from salvation, he wants you to grow more and more to be like Jesus. This maturity, this growing stronger spiritually, the technical term for it, what theologians call it, is a word, a big word. It's sanctification. And here's what sanctification means. When I was in seminary, I had to take two semesters of what is called systematic theology. And our textbook was by a professor by the name of Wayne Grudem, big old thick book. Systematic theology, just sounds smart, right? Well, here's his definition of sanctification. We'll come back to it throughout our time together. A progressive work of God and man. And we'll come back to that. God and man working together in this. The progressive work of God and man that makes us more and more free from sin and more like Christ in our actual lives. So this is salvation. You have this foundation. This is the starting point. When you turn from your sin and by faith, you trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And at that moment, God puts his Holy Spirit in you and thus begins this process of conforming you to the likeness of Christ. He wants you growing more and more and more to be free from the corruption of this world caused by sinful desires. That's in this passage of Scripture. And he wants you to be more and more like Christ, as Grudem's definition says. This is sanctification, and this is God's desire for us. He is working in us. And as we cooperate with him, we'll talk about that in just a moment, we become less like the world and more like Jesus. Now, if you're a believer in the room, In your heart and mind, you've got to be thinking, I want that. I mean, I want to be less like the world, and I want to be more like Jesus. One of my favorite pastors of yesteryear is an evangelist by the name of Leonard Ravenhill. He's from the UK, and he came to the United States to preach revival here in America. And he was really popular in the 60s and 70s. I first read his book, Why Revival Tarries, and it's just one of my go-tos. Just a heart for the Lord, talked a lot about spiritual awakening. He wrote a lot about prayer. I just love the writings of Leonard Ravenhill. He was a fiery preacher. You can go on YouTube and listen to some of his old sermons. He was not scared to hurt your feelings, all right? I mean, he would go all in. And just a burning desire for the Lord. Well, he's buried in East Texas. In a small little cemetery called the Gardendale Cemetery. And I've gone by there before, and I've got a picture of his gravestone. Just wanted to go by and honor his memory. And when I was there, his gravestone, this picture I have in my study in my office, it's just meant so much to me. But if you can't read what it says there on his gravestone, it says, "Are the things you are living for worth Christ dying for?" It's a good question. Ravenhill, in his book, Why Revival Tarries, speaks of sanctification, growing to be more like Jesus. And listen to what he writes. He says, "The greatest miracle that God can do today is take an unholy man out of an unholy world and make that man holy and put him back into that unholy world and keep him holy in it. This is the miracle of sanctification. It's not just a new birth, but it's growing up to be less like the world and more like Jesus." Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." So before we move forward, I want to just pause and ask a question of application. We know from the whole of Scripture, God desires us to grow stronger spiritually. The question is, do you desire this? I mean, right now, where you're sitting in your life, do you desire to look less like the world and more like Jesus? Let me tell you this, if you are a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have been saved, there is a desire in you to be more like Jesus. Now, it may just be embers. You may have made some choices, some decisions to walk away from the Lord. We use the term backslide, if you will. Jesus said of the church in Ephesus, the study we just got out of in Revelation chapter 2, that they've abandoned their first love. And that could be you. You trusted in Christ, you were walking with him, but just over the process of time, you haven't been growing stronger spiritually. Instead, you've been distancing yourself. You've been drifting spiritually. And it could be that the embers that were set ablaze at salvation are very few. And what God wants to do today is take his word. And I believe by the power of the Holy Spirit, he wants to light those fires back up today. He wants you to grow stronger spiritually. And he has put that desire in you at salvation. Secondly, what we see from this text is that God has given us everything we need to grow stronger spiritually. So not only does God desire us to grow stronger spiritually, he's given us everything we need to grow stronger spiritually. Look at verse 3 and 4 again. "His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires." Now, if you're a note taker, I want to give you three descriptor terms here that Peter uses. They're lifted right out of the scripture. We'll talk about each one of them very briefly. First is divine power. This passage teaches that once you're in a relationship with Jesus, he gives you everything you need for a godly life. Everything you need is at your disposal. This is beautiful because what it teaches is God doesn't just save us and leave us alone to figure it out. Instead, he says his divine power has granted us everything we need. It is provided for us. It supplies us with everything we need to live a godly life. Notice how his divine power is made known. The second part of verse 3 says, "through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence." Now we're gonna outline what this knowledge is next week. That's the second quality that we're gonna talk about in this series, that it says supplement your faith. He starts with virtue. We'll briefly talk about that today. And then he says, "and to virtue add knowledge." This is an important word in Peter's writing. 13 times in this small little 3-chapter letter, he uses the word knowledge. He uses it in two different forms. What Peter is teaching here is that divine power that enables us, equips us, supplies us to live a godly life. We learn of this divine power through what I would call revelatory knowledge. In other words, this isn't knowledge that is acquired through information. That's not what Paul is talking about, not right here. It's a part of knowledge, like reading a book and learning something. But what Peter is talking about here, this kind of knowledge, an awareness of God's divine power, it comes with intimacy. You understand, you come to know God's divine power is at your disposal through revelatory knowledge, an intimate relationship with Christ. This is why time alone with the Lord is so very important. Because the more you grow in intimacy with the Lord, it's not knowledge where your head grows big and your heart grows cold. Again, this is an intimate relationship. This is spending time with the Lord. And the more you grow in intimacy, the more of His divine power is revealed to you. So you have this divine power, and it's combined with divine promises. Look at the scripture again, verse 4. By which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of the sinful desire. So you take the divine power of God that supplies us with everything that we need to live a godly life. And the more we spend time with God, the more we are aware of this divine power that grants us everything we need for life and godliness. You combine that divine power with the divine promises of God, His word, and look at what you get. It's this third term. You become a divine partaker. This is the essence of sanctification. We are saved. We are recipients of God's power. We give ourselves to and take in and claim what Peter calls His precious promises. And as we walk in His promises, as we walk in His word, we become like God. One of the early church fathers, Irenaeus, put it like this. He, Jesus, became what we are in order to make us what He is. Peter uses this term here, precious promises. He loved this word. It means highly valued. That's what the word precious means. It means worthy. He uses it in 1 Peter 1:19 to describe the blood of Jesus. He calls it the precious blood of Christ. He uses it to describe our faith in 2 Peter 1:1 and 1 Peter 1:7. He calls it a precious faith. He refers to Jesus in 1 Peter 2:7 as a precious Savior. He loved this word precious. And here he defines God's promises, i.e. His word, as precious. You and I will never participate in the divine nature apart from knowing and walking in God's promises, i.e. His word. This is why it's precious. We'll never grow in intimacy, understanding His divine power that gives us everything that we need for life and godliness. We'll never understand that apart from understanding His word, growing in a knowledge of Him. That's why it's precious. The theme of today's message in this entire summer series is growing stronger spiritually. We will never grow stronger spiritually if we don't see God's word as Peter sees it. 2 Peter 1:21, you know what he says about God's word? He says, this didn't come by the will of man. It didn't get produced by the will of man, but instead men wrote as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This word is precious because it's God's word. It could be that some of you are here today and your growth is stunted spiritually. You're not growing spiritually because you're not giving yourself over to the precious promises of God. When I disciple someone in a relationship, I begin to meet with them and have coffee with them, and we talk about the scriptures. One of the first sessions in, I'm talking about sanctification, it being dependent upon time in the Word, with the Word. See, the Word of God became flesh, the Bible says, and dwelt among us. And so it's time in the Word, with the Word, the person of Jesus Christ. This is what changes us. This is the way that we escape the corruption of the world and we begin to look more and more like Jesus. See, the problem with sanctification and growing to be more like Jesus, it's not on God's end. He desires for us to grow spiritually. He gives us everything we need to grow spiritually. If we're not growing stronger spiritually, it's not God's fault. We have a responsibility. And this leads to point number three. We have a responsibility to do what it takes to grow stronger spiritually. If you're here today, a little weak in the faith, it's not God's fault. We have a responsibility. This is why he writes, look at verse 5-8. For this very reason, because we have divine power for life and godliness, because we have divine promises, because we are partaking with the divine, for this very reason, look at what he says, make every effort, be diligent, be zealous to supplement your faith with virtue. And he begins to list these qualities. Virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, love. Look at verse 8. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So just go back to Grudem's definition of sanctification. It is a progressive work of God and man that makes us more and more free from sin and more like Christ in our actual lives. In other words, God has done, is doing, and will do his part in our spiritual growth. We have a responsibility to cooperate with God, work with God, make every effort we can to grow stronger spiritually. Just because you are a Christian doesn't mean that you reflect Christ. It should. That's what the word Christian means. The nickname was given to Christians. They were called little Christ, right? Because people would see their life, how they lived, how they made decisions, how they treated one another, what they did with the poor and the outcast and the needy, how they took care of them. And they would say, there goes a little Christ. Resembling Christ, looking less like the world, more like Jesus. This is the goal, but it doesn't just happen. We've got to make every effort. We've got to strive. We've got to be zealous about this. Getting stronger spiritually is not passive, just like getting stronger physically is not passive. For instance, I brought these dumbbells and I'm really wishing our guys would have brought some lighter ones, all right? So here's the deal. I can get these dumbbells right here and I can carry these around with me everywhere I go. I can put them in my car as I go to work and as I go to my appointments. And it's not gonna make me physically stronger. I can put them on my desk, just look at them as I work. Not gonna do a thing for me. I can go join a gym. You know, different gyms have different memberships. And a lot of people can be there and they can be looking at dumbbells and lifting the dumbbells. Not gonna make me stronger unless I start getting active and lifting the dumbbells myself. That's when I get buff, all right? That's when my jacket won't fit anymore, all right? It's not passive. It's active. And if you want to get stronger spiritually, it's not going to happen by your Bible being on your nightstand. It doesn't happen by osmosis. It's not going to happen by joining the gym and just coming up and just looking around. It's going to happen when you get active, when you get zealous, when you strive, when you make every effort and you cooperate with the Holy Spirit of God and say, I want to grow stronger spiritually, Lord, you teach me and I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I want to be under your tutoring. I want to learn from you. I want to grow. This is the way that we get stronger spiritually. I was in Colorado this past week, a family camp that my girls, we've gone to for years. And it's always a good time. And I was reminded, we have a river day that's there on the riverbanks. And it's just a fun time. Eat, hang out, shoot guns, throw axes. You know, just take naps. That's what I do. It's a good time. But I recall being down by the river when I was working on a project called Trite Not True. It's a video project that Right Now Media produced. And it's about sayings that Christians say that sound good, but they're not true, right? Like when God closes a door, he opens a window, all right? Sounds good. That came from the Sound of Music, not the Bible, all right? Like, ask John the Baptist about a door closing and a window opening, all right? It didn't happen for him. One of the statements that I talk about, and I talked about this one down at the river, that was kind of the scenic place that I did it, was the words, let go and let God. Anybody ever thought that? Don't raise your hand, all right? Let go, let God. Sounds really good, doesn't it? Really Christian. If you want to grow stronger, let go and let God. Not right. Instead, we got to be like J.I. Packer, who said, trust God and get going. We have a responsibility to move in this. Paul put it like this in Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence. Look at this. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So we work out, and as we work out, what does God do? He works in. I don't have time to go into all of this, but this process of sanctification, just know it involves the whole person. We will never grow stronger spiritually if we're not giving God all of who we are, i.e. our mind, our heart, and our will, all right? This is, Peter wrote this, 1 Peter chapter 1. He said, prepare your minds for action. Spiritual growth is a mindset. This is why Paul would say, take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Romans chapter 12, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. We are never going to grow stronger spiritually if we don't put on the helmet of salvation and learn how to do battle at the mind level. Sanctification is a matter of the mind. It's also a matter of the heart. Look at these virtues that are listed. Brotherly affection, love. It involves our passions. God changes our heart. You know, we need the desire to grow spiritually, but we also need the passion and the heart to even want it. It involves our will. He says, make every effort. You strive toward this. Work toward this. You know what amazes me? What amazes me is how passionate, how intentional we can get about our hobbies and our interests, how much we can invest in and care about things that we love to do and participate in, but when it comes to growing stronger spiritually, many of us, we can be so apathetic, complacency. Ravenhill discipled or was in a discipleship relationship with A.W. Tozer, my favorite author. And Tozer, you know what he said about spiritual growth? He said, you know, there's a lot of things that we could tell you how to grow spiritually. Like here's 100 things in order to grow spiritually. He said, you want me to tell you the one thing to do to make sure that you don't grow spiritually? He said, be complacent. Complacency, he called it in his book, The Pursuit of God, he said, complacency is the deadly foe of all spiritual growth. That's not how we need to live. We have a responsibility to cooperate with the Holy Spirit as he seeks to conform us to the image of Christ. We work out as he works in. In the fall, we're going to be doing a series on faith out of Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to look at Old Testament saints from the New Testament perspective and how they lived out their faith. And you know what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12? It says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great a cloud of witnesses, all these people that he mentions in Hebrews chapter 11, he says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. If we want to grow spiritually, we got to throw off everything that hinders. The good, the bad, the sin that so easily entangles. We got to get rid of it. Are you doing what it takes to grow stronger spiritually? Are you cooperating with the Holy Spirit of God who could be calling you this morning to let go of something? A behavior? A choice that's not honoring Jesus? You want to grow stronger? You got to leave it behind. You got to let it go by the power of the Holy Spirit. Cooperate with the work of God. Or it could be that the Holy Spirit of God is calling you to embrace something. Like, you want to grow spiritually? Become an active member of the church. No more sitting on the sidelines. I'm going to get involved in the ministry. I'm going to use my spiritual gift. I'm going to get in a small group. We have a responsibility. If we want to grow stronger spiritually, we cooperate with the work of God in our life. It's the only way that we'll grow stronger spiritually and continue to develop into maturity. Peter says, if these qualities are yours and increasing, that first quality he mentions, virtue. It's translated in verse 3, describing God's glory and excellence. That's the same word. Some of your Bibles translate it as the word goodness. He says, supplement your faith with goodness, with virtue. What that is moral character. To put it in our vernacular, it's you walk the walk. That's what Peter's calling us to. That there's a sense of wholeness in the way that we live our lives. He says, you build on the foundation of faith. And one of the first ways that you need to build on it, and these are cyclical, okay? It's not just building blocks. These are ever progressing. These are ever increasing. He says, one of the things that you want to make your faith stronger, then you add to it character. Letting your yes be yes. Letting your no be no. That when you say you're gonna do something, you do it no matter what it costs you. I'm gonna do what's right. That's virtue, that's goodness. And the same quality that God possesses, he is morally excellent, he is holy, pure. That same quality that God possesses, Peter calls us to here. And he says in verse 8, if these qualities are yours and increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. None of us have arrived. Sanctification is progressive. Go back to that definition by Wayne Grudem, a progressive work of God. This is something that we work on. This is something that we continue in. It's daily. We're increasing more and more and more. And the more we do so, the less like the world we'll look and the more like Jesus we'll look. Fourth and finally, this is the final point I want us to consider. We've talked about God wanting us to grow stronger spiritually. We've talked about God giving us everything that we need at our disposal in order to grow spiritually. We talked about we have a responsibility to grow stronger spiritually as we cooperate with the Lord. Finally, let me show you the benefits of growing stronger spiritually. Four benefits. They're found right here in verses 8 through 11. Now, Peter kind of puts them in the negative. I'll put them in the positive. If you're taking notes, write it down. First, growing stronger spiritually enables us to be effective and productive. Isn't this what we want? We want our lives to be fruitful. We want to be effective. We want to be like that Psalm 1 tree planted by streams of water whose roots don't wither, whose leaves are always green. Always bearing fruit no matter what the weather is. We don't want to be ineffective. We don't want to be unfruitful. Do you remember Jesus when he cursed that fig tree? He cursed it because it was the time of year where it should be producing fruit. And it looked so promising. And when he got to it, it was bearing no fruit. And so you know what he did? He cursed it. And the next day it withered and died. Because it wasn't bearing fruit. It wasn't accomplishing its purpose. One of the benefits of growing stronger spiritually is that when we walk with the Lord and we mature in the Lord, our lives will be fruitful, will be effective. John 15, when we abide in Christ, we will bear much fruit. Apart from him, we can do nothing. Secondly, growing stronger spiritually allows us to see clearly and remember God's work in our life. I mean, just read verses 8 through 11. I've said this before, sin causes spiritual dementia. When we refuse to get off the milk of God's word, which is elementary, when we're just infants spiritually, there's a time for infancy when you first trust Christ and you're growing in him. But again, it's like I spoke of a few weeks ago. I mean, if you come over at Thanksgiving and somebody's still, adults still sitting at the kiddie table, something's wrong. We gotta grow up. And when we forget what God's done in our life, Peter calls it nearsighted and blind. You can't see spiritually, and that's what sin does. It cuts us off from remembering what God has done, and we can't see clearly, spiritually speaking. There's not much worse than not being able to see clearly. I was at camp this week, got up early, didn't put my contacts in, didn't have my glasses. I just wanted to read and drink some coffee. I had a conversation with somebody that was as far as me from that TV monitor. I have no idea who they were I was having a conversation with. Couldn't see them at all. I don't know what they said. It could have been my best friend. I'd have never known it. It's not good when you can't see. Thirdly, growing stronger spiritually. Look at this. This is a big one. Confirms our calling and election. Oh, my, this is a good one. There's a lot of people in here who struggle with assurance of salvation. Am I really saved? Do I really know Christ? And I'm not knocking someone that prayed and received Christ at a vacation Bible school when they were 7 years old. I went to our new Christians class this morning in our children's ministry. There are three little kids there just being discipled in their faith, making sure that they understood what they were doing as they asked Jesus into your heart. It was beautiful to see these children doing that. I'm not knocking a decision that's made when you're seven. But if you prayed a prayer when you were seven and your life has never changed, it's never produced fruit, and you're basing your salvation on that, a better way to be assured of your salvation is answer this question. Are you growing stronger spiritually? That's proof. Come back each week and ask yourself, are these qualities that Peter mentions, are they increasing in my life? If so, this is proof of salvation, that you're growing stronger spiritually. And then fourth and finally, and I'm done, growing stronger spiritually assures us of a rich welcome into the kingdom. I love this. It's not a works-based salvation, but someone who is growing stronger spiritually, they can be assured that they won't just enter the kingdom of heaven, but they will enter the kingdom of heaven with blessing, with reward. I've said it before, you don't just hear the words, well done, thy good and faithful servant, for dying. You have to be fruitful. You have to be effective. You have to be growing stronger spiritually and richly provided for as they enter the kingdom. It speaks of blessing. It speaks of reward. Read Jesus' parable of the talents that are given and the stewardship of those talents and the reward that is given, the blessing that is given for stewarding what has been entrusted to you well. When you grow stronger spiritually, and we've been entrusted with much, God's precious promises, a church that teaches the Bible, growing up, some of us in Christian homes, what a blessing. What a blessing. So, are you growing spiritually? Perhaps another way to ask it is to show you Raven Hill's grace stone again. Are you, the things you're living for, worth Christ dying for? So what do you say? We get stronger this summer. Don't miss a workout. Don't miss a Sunday. If you do, get it online. Come back. And by the time this series is over this summer, we're going to be some bowed up believers, all right?
Thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforest.org. We'll see you very soon.